Well, let's start out on Palm Sunday here in John chapter 12, verse 12 and verse 13. It says, "The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took the branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out," help me out on this, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." One more time. "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, those palm branches are symbolic in Scripture and in culture of victory, of conquering, conquest, and also of peace. And Palm Sunday signifies so much. Honestly, the struggle in preparing a message for Palm Sunday is there's so much in this. You know, Lord, what should we cover? And I'm very excited what I'm going to share with you today. I like to, and we're wired this way, for visual things. And also we have an eye gate, we have ear gates, and those things help us so much. We're wired to respond to story. We're wired to see and respond to that as well. Let me show you one picture that I found that I just really like, kind of depicting Palm Sunday and Jesus riding in and the people and the excitement around. And let me just say this to you too, and I don't often do this, but I want to recommend something for you. The Chosen. If you're not watching The Chosen, I just really would strongly encourage you to watch that. And don't get offended at this, and that's also just my opinion. But over the years, Christian movies and things like that have been largely cheesy. Don't get mad at me. I know your son-in-law starred in one of them or whatever. But I'm just so grateful there's some really great heartfelt productions that are coming out. And just The Chosen just really just will stir up your love and curiosity about the Savior. And it's just really, really well done. These things kind of help to inspire us and to see and to hear again and again. And of course, nothing takes the place of God's word for that. Now, Palm Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week, which is the most important and consequential week probably in the history of the human race. It's found in all four of the Gospels, which really means something. That the Holy Spirit, who moved upon them to write the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that as he moved upon them, he's also indicating how significant that is, because it's one of about four things that are repeated in all four of the Gospels. You've got the feeding of the 5,000, the betrayal, the crucifixion, the resurrection, but you also have in all four of the Gospels and a little different view, kind of depending on where you're standing in the parade of Palm Sunday. So I think it's very significant for us. I want you to use this week of Holy Week as a time to really reflect and consider the incredible love that God has for us. And you know this about the love of God. He didn't just feel it, he demonstrated it. And we see a lot of that coming to pass in Holy Week. And then also the remarkable cost of God's love for our salvation. So take this week, beginning today with Palm Sunday, and begin to reflect on that. And our creative arts team has put in a lot of work too, and they're going to be helping you out through social media and online this week as well to help you every day to have some things to kind of reflect upon. And then on Good Friday, we've got some special stuff for you online as well. And then we've got the big Saturday. And please be praying for the weekend, the things that I shared with you as well. Well, there was a huge crowd. This was a big deal. It was very noisy. Hosanna, which means a number of things. It's both a cry and a declaration. It's a plea and it's a praise, meaning he saves and here comes the one who saves. As Jesus comes into the city, his reputation precedes him. And just think about this. His teachings which people were just astonished at his teaching. They had not heard anything like this or had heard it presented with such authority. The healings that took place, the miracles, he'd raised the dead, he'd set people free that were hopelessly bound, and he had thousands of followers. And the atmosphere was absolutely electric. And it's described in Scripture as being that. Have you ever been in a setting where it's just like it's just pulsating? Are you just like you're doing right now? No, just some things are just like, wah. Kind of happened to me on scale the other night. Alicia said we'd run some errands, we'd gone out to eat, and we got home and it's dark, and she said, "Hey babe, could you go look out front? I'm expecting a package, a delivery." And I said, "Yeah." So I go out, and I didn't see it on the porch. And sometimes our mailman will leave things, our little sidewalk that goes down to the driveway, he'll leave some things out there. I don't know, maybe it's out there. So it's dark, but I mean, there's light and so forth. And I go out there and I don't see it. And I'm just walking back up to the house. And we have one of those Ring cameras, you know, in the front door. Well, Alicia decided to talk to me. I'm not expecting anything, y'all. And I'm walking back, I don't see it. And she goes, "Oh, never mind, babe, it's coming tomorrow." And I just, and I mean, I was shocked for the next 20 minutes. You know, I mean, it just pulsated through me. So anyway, not even close to what was going on here in Jerusalem, though. The atmosphere was electric. People lined the streets. They're hoping, they're calling, they're lining up. Who's coming, what's going on? And this is not just a celebrity sighting. This is far more than that. And there's, I think, a holy energy in the place. These people were under the heavy hand of Rome. And it was not just unbelievable taxation, but it was abuse. It was so oppressive. It was actually hateful toward them, and they lived under this and could not in any way protest that in any way. And so the people's hearts were hurting, and the voice, the words, the message that was coming through evoked these questions: could he be the one that frees us? Is he going to set up a new kingdom? Because he keeps talking about a new kingdom. Is that what this is? Is this who he is? And so they're all excited to see him come. This is taking place in Jerusalem, which is the most holy of cities. The temple is the heart of the Jewish faith. It's the Passover celebration and feast. So the city is packed and the city is pumped. Jesus knew that this was the climax. This was the culmination of his earthly ministry. He knew that this was coming down to the wire, fulfilling the plan of God for salvation for all of us. I'm thankful for that. Jesus had a single mission. And to sum it up, he was born to die. And we talk about, you know, Christmas is the celebration of the entrance of our Savior. But Christmas makes no sense without Easter. And so he was born to die. And so as he comes, he knows that full well. Now in Matthew chapter 21, verse 10, it says, "When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, 'Who is this?'" Now that stirred up means to shake, to tremor, to quake. I mean, this is some extreme energy. This is not the first time, though, that Jesus has stirred up all of Jerusalem. There was another time, and it was at his birth, even though he wasn't born there. The wise men came from afar, and they stopped through Jerusalem. And in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, it says, and these are the wise men saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem was troubled with him. And so here at the rumor, at the announcement of the birth of the King of the Jews, it troubled Herod because he was a jealous, insecure leader, and that troubled him. But now the king is arriving in grand style in the city, and once again the city is stirred. Now, as we look around, I always look when I'm reading in the Gospels or anywhere in the Bible, who's there? Who is there? Why are they there? Who are they? What about them? And I notice in all four accounts, there's three groups. There's three groups besides Jesus and his entourage. So first of all, you've got the crowd. The crowd. Everybody say the crowd. Secondly, you've got the city. Come on, the city. And thirdly, you've got the religious leaders. So the crowd, these are people that are aware of Jesus. They know what he's done, who he is, or at least they've got a good idea, and they're going to be the early adopters, you know, to follow after him once he truly is revealed as Messiah. The city, they may have heard some, but they're largely unaware. And you do remember we didn't have social media back then. Still, word would spread and spread wide and fast. And the third group, the religious leaders, where you've got the crowd is aware, the city, a mix of aware and unaware. The religious leaders, they were aware. And these are not good guys, okay? These are power hungry, and some of them, I'm sure, represented God well. A lot of them, because of their religious, rulish system, did not. The crowd was excited. The city was curious. The religious leaders were suspicious and indignant. The crowd was shouting and waving, Hosanna, Hosanna. And I'll come back to that in a moment. The city, they said awesome and joined in with that. And the religious leaders, they just got more angry and more plotting and more threatening. Now, Hosanna, everybody say Hosanna. Hosanna actually means save, we pray, or we pray you save us. And it's a cry, but it is also, it's a plea, but it's also a praise. And so, you know, a quick illustration, if you were on a high diving board, do y'all remember diving boards? Okay. A high diving board, and somebody pushed you off of that, and you can't swim. You go under the water and you would come up, and in essence, you would say, Hosanna. It's like, somebody come save me, somebody come save me. But then if you see two lifeguards jump in and swim in towards you, you'd start to say, thank you for saving me. You know, even before they get there. And so the people were crying out, save us. And in the same way, they're saying, there's the one who will save us. Hosanna. Come on, everybody say it. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So they knew, many of them knew. And so the crowd, those that followed Jesus, Hosanna, and because of the meaning of that, which everyone caught, then the city chimes in and go, yes, save us too, save us too. But they didn't fully understand yet what saving was going to take place. Now, in Matthew 21, verse 10 and 11, it says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, come on, help me. One more time. Who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Now, as always, our question is this. Well, how does this help me today? And I think we have to ask that. Because listen, folks, we're not just involved as Christians in church. We're not just involved in, we adhere to a creed, and we remember some religious history, and we acknowledge that. No, this is living, real deal stuff. Are y'all with me? And it matters in our lives. It's not just something that happened long ago or something that might happen sometime in the future. It actually impacts us in the here and in the now. And so a legitimate question is, okay, Palm Sunday, all of this going on, but what does that have to do with me? How's that going to help me? You know, and that's my challenge. And pray for me this week, because my challenge for next weekend, we're going to have hundreds of people that don't know Jesus come in here. And I can't just give them religious history. I can't just give them platitudes or some kind of creed. I've got to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, and He will help me. Hosanna. He will help me to, because they've got to know, well, what does this have to do with me? How is this going to help me? And so I want us to look at this, and let me remind you of this, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the when, yesterday, today, and forever. So how does this help me today? And I would just say this to you, because who Jesus was, Jesus is, and Jesus will be. That's how it helps us today. So this question, well, who is this? The people are looking, they said, who is this? And they said, this is Jesus. And the first attribute that they gave to Jesus is this. He's the prophet. The prophet. Everybody say prophet. Now, our understanding of a prophet is and prophecy is sometimes skewed. As a prophet, this does not mean that he's a predictor of the future, although he knew the end from the beginning. But it means a proclaimer, an expounder, an inspired speaker of divine truths, get this, that could not be known otherwise. Noticeably, and in Bible times, they will refer to someone as a holy man. And it wasn't just that they dotted all their I's and crossed all their T's. It's they carried something with them. It was noticeable, not only their dedication, their commitment, but it was noticeable that they carried the presence of God. It was noticeable that God moved on them and they moved with God. So Jesus was a prophet. He was a proclaimer, an inspired speaker, an expounder of divine truths that you could not ever discover in any other way except that it came from Him. And He was noticeably carrying the presence of God's Spirit and moved by the Spirit. He was the ultimate teacher. He was called Rabbi. Even the Pharisees acknowledged that and addressed Him as Rabbi. He Himself is the living Word, and He Himself is the ultimate revelation of God Himself. His disciples said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, come on, help me. You've seen the Father. He's the prophet. Second of all, He's a teacher. Come on, everybody say it. Teacher. He not only is the living Word, He has the words of life. Think about your best, most favorite teacher in school. Sometimes I do orientation for our academy, and I'll remind them that there's three kinds of teachers. Think back in your life. Teachers you loved, teachers you hated, and teachers you've forgotten. And I'll ask those teachers, which one do you want to be? Well, the teachers that impact us the most are the teachers that we loved. And think about Jesus as teacher. Not only did you learn from those teachers, but you knew those teachers cared. And that's the real key. And that's the thing about Jesus as teacher. Not only did you learn divine truths from Him, but you can tell that He cares. Jesus taught, and people were astonished. 15 times in the four Gospels, we find that He spoke, He taught, He told stories, and the people were astonished. Studies show that how long can one person live without food? Think about it. How long can somebody live without food? It's approximately 50 days. And I say, I don't think so. Second, how long can one live without water? It's 3 to 5 days. Here's the big question. How long can one live without oxygen? It's less than 3 minutes. 2 Timothy tells us that all Scripture, come on, say it, all Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed. God's breath is different than our breath. Our breath is CO2. It's actually deadly. God's breath is life-giving. And His Word is full of His breath. And I would tell you that we cannot live without it. Now, I want to do something a little different today as we kind of cover some of these attributes. Palm Sunday, he's coming in and they welcome him and invite him. And I want us to take a couple moments. We're going to do this at a couple different points in the message with the time I have left and just welcome him. So could you just hold your hands out in front of you and just receive from the Lord? Let's welcome him as prophet. Let's welcome him as teacher. Jesus, Holy Son of God, we acknowledge you as prophet and we acknowledge you as teacher. And we welcome you into our hearts and into our lives. Speak into our lives divine truths that we could no way discover anywhere else. You are the living word. You have the words of life, and they're full of the breath of God. And Lord, we pray, breathe upon us. Help us as never before to be students, learners, and joyful followers of your word. We welcome you, prophet and teacher, in Jesus' name. Amen. He is also, they said, who is this? He is Jesus, and he's the physician. Physician. That's part of the massive draw to Jesus, his healings. The Gospels sum up the ministry of Jesus as preaching, teaching, and healing. I made just a short list. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. He healed lepers, the deaf. He rebuked fevers. He healed someone of internal bleeding. He healed the paralyzed. He set people free from demons. He even raised the dead. In Exodus 15, verse 26, he said, I am the Lord, your healer, your healer. You know, people, Ocala's growing like crazy. I don't know if you knew that. And people ask in a large and growing church over the years, somebody new to the area will ask sometimes, where do you go for this? Or who do you know for that? Or do you know a good plumber? Or maybe out in the world, people ask you, hey, do you know a good church? All right. Hey, who's your dentist? Or where's the best place to go for this? And so on the back of all of that, I just want to ask you today, let me ask you, do you have a healer? Do you have a physician? Do you know him as that? Now, I'm not saying replace your medical doctor, because I believe all healing comes from God. And I'm a witness of that. But I believe that God needs to be a part of that whole process. But I'm asking you today, do you have a physician? Do you have a healer like Jesus who mends us in our wholeness? And the prophecy of him out of Isaiah and then fulfilled in Luke, it says that he heals the brokenhearted. He binds up and wraps up those that are crushed and are bruised. He heals in every sense. He forgives our sin. Did you know that our sin makes us sin sick? And when there's no cure for that except for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin, he heals us from that. Amen? He restores. He restores. And we see this in Scripture. And I just said, because who Jesus was, Jesus is. We see in Scripture that he restores sanity. He can put us back in our right mind, y'all. We've got to stop just letting everything go and say, I'm just this or they're just that. I still believe that he can put us back in our right minds. He's our healer. He can heal our bodies. He can strengthen the weak. He can strengthen our soul. He can heal our bodies. He can set us free, and he brings wholeness to us. We need a physician, and Jesus is that great physician. And come on, can we just take a moment and let's welcome the physician into our lives today? Jesus, we acknowledge that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us, the one who makes us whole. And your specialty is wholeness, not just a single thing, but all things. And today on Palm Sunday, we welcome you. We invite you into our lives to come in and to bind us up and to wrap us up and to heal us and to pour in the oil and heal us and make us whole in every way. We welcome you, physician, in Jesus' name. Amen. He's also a counselor. Anybody need a counselor? I've been watching y'all. You need a counselor. Hey, we all do. We need somebody that can talk to us. We need somebody we can talk to. We need somebody. I have on numerous occasions of my life and seasons of my life, and I'm probably due again, you know, to talk to somebody who's smarter than you are, who can look at your life and you give them permission to talk into your life. Well, beyond that, though, there's a wonderful counselor that Scripture talks about, and he is Jesus. And we all need that counselor to encourage us, to guide us, to confront us, to remind us. It's been said that the more training you have, the less messes you make. But sometimes we don't have the training, or we forget our training, and what counseling does is remind us of our training or get us back up to speed concerning that training. Come on, let's welcome the counselor right now. Lord Jesus, you are the wonderful counselor, and you've given us resident in our lives the Holy Spirit to help us and to guide us and to counsel us, and we want it and we need it. May we never again say that we are stumped and don't know what to do. We know that you will guide us and help us and remind us and confront us and train us and coach us. You are the wonderful counselor. We welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen. And lastly, and we'll commemorate this on Good Friday, he is a Savior. So the people said, "Who is this?" And they said, "This is Jesus. He's a prophet." And I've added to the list today, he's also teacher and physician and counselor and Savior. Do you know what a Savior does? They save. What do they save? Anything you bring before them. And Jesus is that Savior. The cry of Hosanna is, "Save us." The cry of Hosanna is, "You're the one who can save us. Save us from ourself, from sin, from the enemy, from all of life's situations." And he saves us or we are lost. So who is he? He is Jesus. He's a prophet. He's a teacher. He's a physician. He's a counselor. He's a Savior. He's the only one that could be all of these things to us. And listen, if he was, he is, and if he is, he will be. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the only one that can be all of those. John 21, verse 25 says, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were all written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Amen. Understand that Jesus came on a mission. The ultimate mission from God. Palm Sunday, Good Friday, all of that was the culmination of that grand plan of salvation. As he entered into the city, the people were crying out, "Hosanna, save us." And they were hoping that he would save them politically and militarily. And they were hoping that he would come in, get this, and defeat Rome. Instead of defeating Rome, he defeated sin and death. So Jesus came looking at the ultimate, but also realize that Jesus doesn't just look at the ultimate, he looks at the immediate. He doesn't just look at the big picture, he looks at the right now. Just before he came into Jerusalem, and it says a multitude is following him. It's like this compression of energy and people and events, and it's all coming together. And all of a sudden, as all these people around, just before he comes into Jerusalem, two blind men are sitting at the side of the road amongst the crowd. And they said, "Jesus, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And the people turned and said, "Hush, hush, hush." And the Bible says they cried out all the louder, "Jesus, Lord, Son of David, have mercy." And Jesus, the Bible says, stopped and stood still. And he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he could have said this, "Don't you understand I'm on my way to take care of the ultimate? What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, "That you would open our eyes." And Jesus went to them. He stopped everything and went to them and touched their eyes and opened their eyes, and they could see. And I love this. And the Bible says, and they got up and they followed him. So when we see everybody coming into the city, Hosanna, there's two guys with an extra big smile on their face that are looking around for their first time in a long time, if ever, because Jesus, not only this God of ours, he doesn't just take care of the ultimate big picture. I want you to know something. He will help you with the immediate and the right now. That's the kind of Savior that we have. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.